Hey, this is Amy Hood from Hoodspah Design, and you're listening to the Master of One podcast. You can find me at Amy Hoodlum on Instagram.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that has a pocket full of quarters and can't wait to make it to the kill screen. In this, our 300th episode, we talk about Toast of London, Streets of Steel, and designing great community. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So get your wrist braces ready, because we're going to shut this arcade down.
Wait, why do we need a wrist brace?
We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Luke, why don't you tell us about how your week has to have been?
Okay. You know what, man? My week has been good. Until last night, technically. Today, it was a mess. Our dryer broke. Rachel told me last night at like 10 p.m., like, hey, the dryer's broken. Do you think tomorrow you can fix it? And so I said, yeah.
Fix dryers? Is that a thing you do?
Apparently I do. I took it apart, and turns out it was the thermal fuse. Just the, you know, common thing that goes bad. Huh. So I replaced it. It wasn't that hard. Fuse. I had replaced the heating coil like a year and a half ago. And replaced that, and it was fine. So I spent most of the day going to different stores to find the parts I needed, and then fixed it.
Awesome. So crisis averted. Yourself, though.
I feel like a man.
Yeah,
man that fixes.
You could
stuff.
Have said that a little bit more manly.
Feel like a man.
One finger on your cheek.
I feel like a man.
I feel like a man.
I feel like a man.
Better, yeah.
Is that how men talk?
Yeah. Now rip out some of your back hair and twist it into a cigarette.
All my back hair grows right here. That's it.
Oh,
I have no more hair on my body. It all comes out my chin.
That's true.
What would you say are the qualities that define a man?
Fixing a lawnmower.
Fixing a dryer. And farts.
That's it. So Patrick, you're almost a man. You barely made it.
By the seat of your seat.
You haven't had to buy a lawnmower yet?
No.
That's crazy. I mean, you're right.
To be fair, I have fixed a lawnmower, but does it count if it's... Does it have to be
yours
personally?
If it's not yours, it doesn't count.
Okay, fair. Okay, yeah. So I have fixed
a
dryer.
You're almost
a
man.
I know.
I can't wait.
Farts is what got you there, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Once again, farts saved the day for you.
For you specifically.
If only there was a scenario where that were true. Do you want to know a fun fact about farting, though?
Oh,
it happens when you dance.
It's true. Normal.
That joke was for Andrew.
A normal amount is considered about 20 a day.
No.
Nope. That's too much.
No.
That's gross.
You shouldn't be worried about a health problem. If you're like up to 20 a day, if you start going beyond that, you should start asking some questions.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if only 20 is what's normal, I need to check with some things.
you think that you're at more than 20 consistently?
I have had more than 20 since the start of this episode.
I don't think that's real.
Get a pedometer and clock it during the day.
A pedometer? Where would I mount that pedometer for it to track that appropriately?
No, you have to hit the switch. It's not like...
When you find out, Andrew, send him a picture.
Okay.
Is it? Oh, the counter thing.
Yeah, so a pedometer tracks automatically. You're talking about like a clicker, like a counter.
You don't think that before this new digital technology that there were manual pedometers? like 180 BPM, like
yeah,
clicking.
Maybe.
Okay.
Like speedwalkers are just, they have like one in each hand and they're just alternating and then they add it together like after they get around the mall.
But on the note of 20, I wonder if...
Thanks for bringing us back.
Yeah.
Well, the noises reminded me. Like, I wonder if like length, density, if those things should also be considered as opposed to only...
I don't think
only...
you should measure length and density. If there's enough substance to your farts for you to be able to measure length and density, I don't think that's a fart.
You just crapped your pants.
I think Luke's on to something.
I had a solid fart.
Length like time and density like force. I just feel like those things should factor in, not just quantity.
Yeah.
So if it's just like air poofs, just like real light, that doesn't count?
The way that you say poof makes me laugh so hard.
Poofs?
Poof? Poofs?
Poofs? Little poofs?
Yeah, I'm just saying that if you have 20 15-second long farts, I would argue that that is not as healthy as 20 poofs.
I think 15-second long farts, you're dying. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Stop. That's 15 seconds.
If you had 20,
I've never done that.
If you had 20 of those,
you're dead.
You realize that's 5. That's 5 minutes of farting.
That's your
in a day.
Soul escaping your body. You're dead.
Your soul. This is absolute substance.
Yeah.
That we've started this podcast.
Well,
off
if
with.
It's substance, remember there's a problem.
Yeah. There's substance. That's not farting.
That's not farting. That's words to live by. If there's substance, it's not a fart.
Yeah.
Okay. So my
find
week.
Your nearest exit.
All right. So I'm gonna.
It did.
That was a good one. Good job. That was good.
Oh man!
Thanks for the affirmation.
Okay. So I just found out. I was going to save this for a master category at some point, but it's just too good to just hold on to. There is a website I found out. So have you guys heard of the game? It's a game on Steam. It's called Tabletop Simulator. Have you heard of that
yes.
before? Okay.
Yeah.
You can play board games with other people online just like you were there. It's just a digital board and you're playing and there's a chat room and, you know, whatever. It's pretty cool. The Tabletop Simulator has VR components too, so you can actually play in VR if everybody had VR headsets. It's kind of cool. Anyway, there is another thing, a website called Tabletopia that is just a browser-based version of that, and you can play all kinds of board games that people submit and create with your friends. And I have been playing random games, but I posted on Instagram last week a game called Anachrony, which is a super complex Euro style game where you're trying to get victory points by having workers that go to different planets and get different supplies, and at the end you can either stay and kind of rule your colony, or you can leave the planet because there's a big impact of a crater. That's the whole idea of the game. But it's other than that, it's a very complex, heavy Euro-style game of worker placement and resource management. It is awesome. It's one of the best games I've ever played, and I it's so good that I constantly want to replay it, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm looking up strategy for it. It's amazing. You can play it on Tabletop Simulator. So I played it last night with some friends, and the game is not fast. It takes about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. But Tabletop Simulator is awesome because it's the same group of guys that I play with weekly, but we were able to do it from our houses. We could just log in, play the game. We were on Discord chatting, and it was really, really awesome. And they have Scythe.
Is it free?
It's free. Free. Now, there's a premium account. You can some of the games, like for Anachrony, for instance, the player boards have two sides, and you can change up some of the components of what you need to get and what kind of powers your colony has. If you have the free account, you can only play one side. But if you have the premium, you can play both sides. And other games have other restrictions as far as expansions or things like that, that you can only play if you have the premium account. I don't know what it costs. I want to say it's like $50 for the year, maybe. But the way that the game feels, it feels like you're sitting there, especially when you're on Discord or Skype or, you know, Appear or whatever, talking with your friends. It feels like you're playing games together. It's really immersive. You can move the angle of your camera around to be looking flatter at the board or top view. You can set different camera angles to hotkeys, so you can like switch between, you can look at other people's point of view and all kinds of stuff. It's amazing. It's really, really awesome. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it. If you pay for it, you get access to some extra stuff. But it's so good. And so, yeah, I guess it's a little...
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a little mini category, I guess. But it's so good. If anybody wants to play games, I am more than happy to play games with anybody on there. Just let me know.
Yeah, we could just do it. We could do like an M of One game night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all just log in and play. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, premium, I guess it depends, because they have bronze, silver, and gold level pricing.
Okay.
The bronze is the free.
Yeah.
Silver is $5 a month, and the gold is $10 a month.
But if you, it's billed yearly, and I think you get a discount off the 10 a month.
Cool.
If awesome. You do a yearly. So yeah, it's more expensive than I thought, but it's worth it. If you like playing a lot of games and don't have friends around you to play with, you can play online, and it really, is pretty immersive. It doesn't feel like you're,
they have Dinosaur Island on here.
That's the first one. So the Kickstarter is the second, or the re-release. But yeah, there's a ton of really popular games on there. But yeah, that's it. Most of the week I've been playing board games and getting ready for D&D on Saturday. So I'm getting ready to maybe kill my whole party. So we'll find out.
That's good.
Andrew, how about your week? Great.
All right. So no new things. Well, there have been some new things that I've purchased and stuff along the way, but I'm going to actually tell two quick stories. One that maybe is a little bit more pertinent to the podcast, and the other one's just a little bit more fun. I was looking through my shelf, and I found this old comic book that I drew when I was in sixth grade. So this is December of 1996.
Nice.
And I know that because I did a barcode down here and the date, and I even gave it like its own like ISBN number.
Nice.
And everything. But I'm going to show you a quick. So the Adventures of Jike and Mike versus Ice Scream. That's the thing. So I can't really see what I'm showing you guys, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I inked and colored some of it. Some of it I only have pencils.
It looks good.
So anyway, I went through and read this story. It is terrible. There's a lot of there is some good stuff about it, but like, It jumps around it like from one frame to the next frame. There's a lot of assumption happening. Like I knew what was happening, but I never drew it or wrote it down. So anyway, I took this out and I was looking at it, and EJ said, you should redraw those characters now.
Yeah.
Just to see. So I did an update. So here's Mike and Jike, these two guys right here in the
Mike
red
and Jike
and blue. Jike and Mike, yeah. Jike is the guy in the red. Mike is the guy in the blue.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, here's a better. Here they are getting their lightning power.
Yes.
That's them right there. So that's my drawing from 1996. Here
is that
my,
really
my,
you and Justin?
Huh?
Is that really just you and Justin?
No.
Okay.
But I could see how that could be like that. But here's my update. I started inking it already, but here's my.
Nice.
Hey.
So
they don't look as happy.
What?
They don't look as happy.
They're not happy here either. That was one thing I noticed. Like, I went back and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. They're pissed off in every image. They always look mad. Guess.
It's got like a certain like Earthworm Jim look to it.
Earthworm Jim. I was big into Earthworm Jim. It makes total sense that that was big. But when I'm done inking and coloring it, which will be tonight, the night of the recording, I will I'll post a picture side by side. But I also gave it
pants kind of look like a condom pulled up around his waist.
That's fair. Because
is that
what
a superpower?
It looks like. Look, yeah, it's super condom pants power.
Yep. Wait, so what are their powers? Lightning?
Yeah, they shoot lightning from somewhere.
Their butts.
I actually don't know where they shoot lightning from.
Well, you do. It's your story.
So lightning comes from your eyes.
Yeah, from their hands. Here you go. He's shooting. Where is it? How can I get you guys to see it?
He's shooting
lightning out of his hand at Ice Scream. There's lots of bulging eyes.
Yeah.
Heavily inspired by
Warner
Brothers.
Are you going to rewrite that story? Are you going to write this? I think you should write it as a comic again.
So that was the thing, is maybe I should go back and actually do the first issue of this.
I think
that would be a lot of fun. That would take some time, but yeah, I think it would be a lot of fun. And actually ink it and color it and do something with it.
I love it.
But so that was fun. Cooper also drew Mike and Jike. And let me see if I can show you. I took a picture of it. Here is his version of it. Of course it's
rotated. Yeah, but still, no, you can see the resemblance. Cooper is gonna be super talented.
Yeah.
Did I show you the Mickey Mouse, the quickie Mickey that he did?
Yeah. You showed it to us last week.
So I'm trying to show the main camera real quick. There's Mike and Jike. I can't get it to, there's an angle that you can see it on the camera, but yeah. So there they are.
That's great.
It was just a lot of fun, kind of a blast from the past. All right, here's the other story. Has nothing to do with art and design. We recently purchased our house. So we bought it at the end of last year, very, very end of last year. And we are now, that means we're now responsible for and to everything. Well, our air conditioning the other day stopped cooling appropriately.
Didn't you have a problem with that before?
Yeah, we've had several. Well, this is a new unit.
But okay.
The old unit, like, we had several issues with it. So we have a new unit. What we found was we were hearing like water dripping inside of the wall. And that's disconcerting.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. No kidding.
We weren't seeing anything. We weren't seeing any spots or anything. But I don't know if you guys know how air conditions work, but there's like a condenser.
Yep.
And then when it gets too cold, like, water comes through that because it has to, that's just how it works in refrigeration. There has to be drainage. So, there's a main drain that drains somewhere and out.
Yeah.
And then there's an auxiliary drain if this drain gets clogged or it gets overloaded, and then that goes out a different way.
Yeah.
Then there is a tertiary fail-safe catch-all type thing.
Yep.
So that water doesn't actually go into the wall or anything. Well, if that fills up, there's a fourth level of security, which is called the float switch. And that's if it's at the top of that pan, and if water hits that means that pan is too full and it turns off the fan so that it doesn't overflow and
pour. The idea is that stuff eventually evaporates. So those third and fourth
evaporates or it drains away. Right.
Yep.
So what happened? He got here. He took the panel off. We looked. That pan, that drip pan was full to the top, like full of water. So that meant not only was the main drain clogged, but the auxiliary drain was also clogged. And so what we did was he took this air condenser with like this rubber tube, put it down inside there, and to clear the auxiliary first, he put this rubber thing down in there with like a ballooning tube on it, and with 250 PSI kind of hit it like for 2 seconds, and you heard it go boom, and just all of a sudden all the water started draining out.
Yeah.
And like, okay, cool, that was cool. So he went over to do it onto the main one. Now, I'm giving a lot of detail just to paint the picture for you.
Sure.
When we were renting the house, they never told us which one was the main and which one was the auxiliary. They told us to be pouring like the vinegar or the bleach or whatever to clear out the auxiliary one.
Yeah.
So we didn't even know you could get into this other one. That's the one you should have been pouring the stuff that eats away like the algae and the water and stuff that's in there. So it had been over 2 years since anyone had ever cleared that out. So it was clogged, clogged.
Yeah.
We couldn't even get like the rubber thing down there without breaking up some of the stuff that was inside of there.
Nice.
And it's just algae. It's just, you know, it's just that. It's not like dirt or like, feces or anything. That's not
Yeah, it's not
sewage. It's just algae backup buildup. And so he gets it down just enough and he says, he runs it. 250 PSI, boom. Okay, we hear it. Let's go see where that's draining out. We went outside, couldn't find anywhere where it was draining out. And he's like, that's weird. He said, do you have a bathroom below, that's right below the air conditioned unit? He said, because sometimes it runs through the main drain that's connected to a bathroom. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh no. So we went back inside.
Oh no.
And sure enough, in the bathroom, in the sink was... Just a bunch of this like algae buildup in the sink, but it was all contained in the sink. And he's like, "Oh, okay, good." He said, "I've done it before and not known, and it shoots everywhere and it's horrible." I'm like, "Well, I'm glad that didn't happen."
Yeah.
He said, "Okay, let me go run water, and you should be able to hear water coming through the drain. Just stay here." I said, "Okay." So I stayed there and I was listening for the water. He pours it and I didn't hear anything. He's like, "I'm pouring the water." I'm like, "Okay." I don't hear anything. He's like, huh, it must still be clogged some. Cover, pull the stopper and hold the stopper just in case something were to come up out of there. I wouldn't want to get anywhere or make a mess. Okay, so I pull the stopper and I'm holding the stopper. I hear, thum, and 250 PSI took the thing and went like this.
Yeah.
It just pushed it and it sprinklered out. I stood there and it went, and I went, it was in my mouth. It was on every single wall, on the door, on all the art that's hung up in the bathroom, all over the floor. It looked horrible. And he walked downstairs. I said, it's cleared out now. And he walked downstairs and he goes, I am so sorry. Cooper walked in and he goes, what? He wanted to go to the bathroom. He said, what happened? I said, Mommy couldn't make it to the toilet. So needless to say, the bathroom got a deep clean.
Yeah.
And the air conditioned unit is working better than ever now.
Nice.
So holy crap. That's all. Let that be a lesson to you. Really push down.
Yeah.
If you want. I would push with one hand. Push down and held it and held the stopper here and push down with the other hand so that, but anyway.
All right, Patrick, what's your home improvement story?
No, I bumped that. I don't do any of that stuff. Two very, very quick things. One, talked about super plastic briefly in the last episode back on, last Tuesday, letting you know that the Kickstarter was launching and all that kind of stuff. Well, it is live. It's been up for 3 days now, I think, and it has already raised $272,000.
What?
Of how much? Weren't they looking for like 70?
They're looking for 25.
25, yeah.
So they have exceeded that, and they already have over 1,800 backers. I'm very proud to say I am backer number two. I would have been backer number one if I had entered the correct CVV for my credit card when I typed it in. I had to go back and re-enter it. And someone beat me to the punch. But anyway,
guess who it was?
I would like to believe that's true, but I doubt it.
It's not. I'm 33.
Okay, great.
How do you know what number you are?
If you go into the projects you funded or whatever, you can click on the status and it says your backer number at the very bottom.
All right.
So mine has a big fat two. So anyway, the project is doing just gangbusters right now, and Huck and Paul and the whole team, I'm sure, are working overtime. They're rolling out stretch goals. They've already rolled out two new figures, so it's great. If you haven't backed it, back it. Be a part of this and
join the revolution.
Exactly. And Paul and Huck were both nice enough to in the middle of all this craziness to answer some interview questions. Those are up on Timed Edition. So if you go to timededition.com, find the article for Super Plastic, and you can, you know, see their answers and see pictures from the campaign and of some of the toys and some of the toys that aren't, I mean, I'm sorry, some of the pictures that aren't available on the Kickstarter page, you can see inside the article as well. So just go there, check it out, give it a read. Beyond that, season finales. We got the season finale of Silicon Valley. We got the season finale of Barry. Silicon Valley, we finally ended on a high note. I said that to you guys.
It's totally different.
I said that to you. It was very important for me this year. It had to be different because every year it's gain it and then lose. Gain it, then lose. Gain it, then lose.
I thought that was the direction it was going to go at that point
I was ready. Like the beginning of this last episode, I was like, okay, I've written it off. We're done. Yep. And it ended on a high note. And now I am pumped for the next season. So thank you. And then the other one, Barry, have y'all both seen the finale?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So stay tuned to next week so we can talk about it.
We'll talk about it next week. It's a good one. Show finished strong. If you haven't seen the show, it's absolutely worth giving it a run through. I think this is a show that's going to be around for a while. And on that note, one correction. Last week we said Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled. We finished recording at about 8 p.m. And then by 12 p.m. that night, it had been announced that NBC had picked it up. So before the episode even came out, we were proved wrong. But thankfully, so now we just need that Happen Less Man on Earth. That's it for this week. So we are done with this section.
Yeah, you're right. So up next, a very special time with Andrew Kolb. We like to regularly talk to our friend Andrew Kolb, who is our resident comic book expert. And that's why he has the segment Calculated Comics with Kolb.
Kolb. Cool. I mean, I felt like it needed something a bit extra to like lift it up.
Yeah, Luke was going to add all that in post.
No, I wasn't. Nope.
But ladies and gentlemen, welcome Andrew Kolb back to the show.
Yay.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for referring to me. Did you call me master or just like an expert? I'm still honored.
You could be the master of comics.
I'm fine with that. I like that, Andrew, you made sure you did not say anything until we actually clapped for you. Like, it was very important that you stayed quiet until the claps happened.
That's pro level.
I also wasn't sure if we were going to keep this take, a little peek behind the curtain.
What?
Implying that this was a bad take.
Once you hit 300, you just kind of, it gets a little looser.
Everything gets looser with age, right, Luke?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm bringing it back.
Thank you.
Friends.
So you've talked many a comic with us, and as we were getting set up tonight, we were just talking about how you have sparked the purchase of lots of comics with at least a handful of people, if not more. But I think we talked and you have like, you've done this 12 times.
Yeah.
And I think I've purchased at least 9 of the comics that you've talked about along the way. And we know a couple of other people who also have purchased the comics. So what do you have for us this week, I wonder?
I mean, the rubric can only tell. So to get us going, what I will need is a number, either 1, 2, or 3 from each of you.
Two.
Two, okay.
Two.
Excellent.
Two.
Okay. I wonder if we've... I don't think we've ever done this one before. I know we were always looking for new numbers.
Yeah,
new numbers.
That's what we've got tonight. Oh, great. Okay, so on my rubric, 222 is One Punch Man, which is actually also an anime on Netflix. But I've read the first 2 volumes, so it's like a manga or manga, depending on how you want to read it. So it reads from right to left from an artist out of Japan. He goes by the name or the moniker of One. The basic premise of it is it's this kind of like dweeby guy who gets picked on and through like a regiment of training ends up becoming so powerful that he can defeat any enemy or any villain with one punch. Mm. So it's kind of like a, I wouldn't say it's like a, it's not a satire. It's more of like a parody of like Dragon Ball or any of those kind of classic like must train to get stronger, and there's always like a stronger enemy to fight trope. But through the kind of perspective of where does it end or what's it all for? So there's like a lot of, it's a funny comic, but it's still very much like action oriented. There's a lot of solid fighting, but it's usually undercut with, the main character defeating his villain after a monologue with just one punch.
I love it.
I've seen this guy. I've seen the, this character all over the place. I mean, obviously when you are into comics or you're into that, illustration world,
right,
you see various characters over and over and over again. And I never knew what it was until now. Like as soon as I typed it in, I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly who that is. It's a very interesting concept that you're saying it's not quite satirical, but it's almost spoofing or parodying like the typical anime styled like superhero story, or however you would want to articulate that. Because it looks funny to me. It looks almost ridiculous. And in my mind, I thought that was just me being closed-minded to Japanese animation. Because I saw it, I'm like, oh, that looks really weird.
Yeah, so there's definitely like the tongue-in-cheek kind of layer on top of everything in the story, but it's still very much like out of love. Like it's not like Watchmen, where it's trying to deconstruct superheroes in like not necessarily a critical way, but like it's just saying, this is something that we all kind of embrace. Like there's always going to be a villain who's stronger, who shows up, and then all you have to do is a fighting montage and then you become strong enough. Like it's kind of something that in comics we accept, but like, should we, or what happens if we kind of really shine a spotlight on it? So I think that's the tone of this book. Like it's comedy. It's action comedy at its best.
If I didn't know anything about this comic, which I know very little, but I know more after just these last couple moments. But if I hadn't been part of this conversation and just looked at the images, I would say that this is just, what if Charlie Brown was cool?
Oh, fair. Yes, because I don't know. I know Andrew has now seen what it looks like in Luke and Patrick, but the main character is bald and wears a mostly yellow jumpsuit. So, fair criticism or fair.
Yeah, I don't hate it. It's just like, oh, this is like, what if Charlie Brown was a superhero?
Right. Which and cool, so right? Like also part of the narrative is, so the reason why he's bald is because it just like in becoming super powerful, he loses all his hair. Like it's not a big dramatic story.
It doesn't
story
turn yellow. It just
like
disappears.
Yeah, exactly. But so
the outfit is basically like the Doctor Strange outfit though, right? Like it's yellow. I get it. It's like yellow with a white cape, but I'm saying it, I feel like it's a very similar getup.
Yeah, it's like it seems almost like he just grabbed kitchen gloves and some big boots and put them on over like a regular jumpsuit. But so I think that's all. I think that's all of it. Like everyone in the comic takes themselves very seriously.
Uh-huh.
So that's where you get like long monologues from villains and these kind of grand plans that are all kind of thwarted in like a couple pages. Like the plot, I would also say, moves very quickly because you don't have half of a trade going through a fight. It's more big build up and then real just cut under the legs. Just
it's Indiana Jones in that nature. It's the it's the sword
dazzling
scene. Pull out the pistol, shoot him once, and it's over.
Like, oh, you know why that was filmed that way, right?
Yeah, because they had been shooting the scene all day, and Harrison Ford was tired, and he just did it. And they kept it because it was funny.
Yeah, I think he was felt a little sick that day or something. And he was exhausted and just that was it.
They had it choreographed, but they decided.
Yeah.
I just don't even know how someone decides to get into this world. Like, I know that manga is increasingly more popular. Just around the people that I interact with. And I don't know. I guess I don't know why people tend to make the jump or what tends to hold people. Like for you, I guess, what's the attraction to something like this?
So I would say it's really It's funny because I hadn't really considered it to be different. Like, the biggest part is that it reads right to left because of just the cultural differences. So it's all, like, translated, right. And that's fine. The stories, I think, are just structured a little differently. Like, I think there's just, like, just something that doesn't quite translate, or it's not the same. Like, there's just not the same mythology leading into modern comics. Like, I think the fairy tales are different from, like, generations past and that. Like, it's all just kind of where, like, it's all from the same tree, but it just splits off into two different branches. So how do you make the jump? I don't know. It just depends. Like, I mean, I have a bunch of other comics on here that we could talk about, like the original Dragon Ball. Like, there's, and a lot of them have become TV shows, too. So I think the biggest thing would be, like, what kind of Western stories do you like to read? Like, I have a couple D&D comics that are, like, manga. I have a couple of, like, action adventure. This one's a little more mature. I would also say One Punch Man is, like, not for kids. Like, as much as it's a comedy in that, like, when he does finally punch a villain, it is, like, really graphic. But it's also, like, that violence is played up for laughs, kind of like a Team America or,
sure,
like, a South Park type thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think it's the style. Off-putting sounds negative, but I think the barrier for me is just stylistically, it feels so different than the stuff that I was surrounded by growing up, and the stuff that, whether it's TV or books, the stuff that I am around now, it just feels so outside of those bounds.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, and I think that's fair. Like, I think it's as much, yeah, as much as kind of Western, let's say superhero comics have a very specific vibe, there is still some tropes to the visuals of manga. And yeah, if that's a barrier to entry, then totally understandable. There are some comics I don't read just because I can't get into the visuals. So that's fair.
Well, and I can't read manga because I'm not ambidextrous. So I just can't go right to left. I'm like Zoolander in that way. Okay, so I do have a question. I've been reading a lot more comics lately, but I have one that I just read, and I wanted to know what your thoughts were if you've read it. Have you read the Batman White Knight like arc?
No, I was gifted the first couple issues for Christmas, and I've been waiting until it finished, which I think it just did, right?
It just did like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
So I need to pick up those last couple of issues, and then I'm going to read it. Not necessarily all in one go, but like I didn't want to wait. So yeah. I haven't yet. Have you been, or are you caught up?
I read. So my friend EJ, big Batman fan, and he finished it, and I asked if I could borrow it, and I read through all of them in a night, and it's cool. So I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I won't definitely talk any put it on here. No, that's great. And good to know that you've already read it and that you enjoyed it. Cause I have three of them sitting on my nightstand right now, just waiting for the rest of the collection. Cause there's six issues total. Is that
there's
right?
There's eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's cool. So it's an interesting
more
story
to pick up than I thought.
Tell everybody where they can find you, if you have any cool stuff coming up, all that jazz.
Sure. So I'm Cole Bisneet on all social platforms. Feel free to message me. I occasionally on Instagram will like use my stories to talk about comics I'm reading. And I've just recently started saving them. So not that they're necessarily the same as what we talk about here. So that way you still have to listen to the podcast to get these reviews. But, if you're looking for other comic stuff, then you can find me on there too, as well as my art. And I have books on for sale. I have like a card game. I don't know. Just like type my name into Amazon and see what you find.
You cool. do have a card game. It's a
I
lot
do.
Of fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
All right. Well, then I think we will call this one done for this month. Look for more of this on the podcast, but also on Timed Edition, where we are now contributing to that. And Kolb is also contributing to Timed Edition. So join us over there and find all sorts of other cool stuff if you like the stuff we've been talking about thus far. Otherwise, thanks for hanging out with us, man, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you later. Man. Bye.
The Master Categories portion every week is when we get to talk about the tokens we drew the week before, which give us our categories. We pick our topics based on those categories. Luke, why don't you talk to us?
All right. I am going to talk. Okay. I found a show. It's not new. No, listen, here, I think it's super funny, but I recognize that it's like a niche comedy that maybe not everybody's into. I think Patrick's going to love it. And Patrick might already know what it is.
Why do you say that with like an edge to your voice?
Listen, I do want to be clear. I was just laughing at you as a person and not at your choice of show.
Okay,
I just need you to understand that.
I'm talking about the show Toast of London. It's on Netflix now. It's back from, it was airing 2012 to 2015. It stars Matt Berry, who we know as everyone's favorite manager. Yeah, everybody's favorite manager, Douglas Reinhold of IT Crowd. It's a show, he plays Stephen Toast, who is an actor, and it's basically he's taking care of life off stage and barely performing on stage. He does like local productions, commercials, like really small time acting. But the dude, just as an actor, is so hilarious. And it's the same humor. It's the same kind of person he was in IT Crowd. It's just bent as him being an actor versus just a eccentric manager. But there's four seasons and it's hilarious. Like, it's not everybody's cup of tea comedy wise. It gets a little just silly. But man, I love it. It's on Netflix now. You can watch it. You know him from IT Crowd and Mighty Boosh. He's been on other things. He's been the voice of
Mighty Boosh. That's old Greg, right?
Yeah. Yep. Same. But he's done voices for SpongeBob. He was in Portlandia. If you ever watched Portlandia, he played a character called Squiggle Man on an episode. I mean, you know who this guy is once you've seen him.
He's captivating. I mean, I haven't seen the show yet. I haven't seen it yet. I didn't even know that it existed.
Right.
And literally only from seeing the like marketing pieces that have him in it, it's completely enough to sell me on the idea of the show.
See, I told you you'd love it.
Yeah, because again, like in, so we didn't get him until, did we get him in the first season or was it until the second season?
Second season.
So he didn't show up until I didn't know if it was like halfway through or whatever. So we didn't get him until the second season.
The manager jumped out the window.
Well, he just like walked out the window, just like took a step out. And I remember, I think the first episode we see him, he's going through his desk because it isn't his desk because he just took over the office. And he pulls open a drawer and there's a gun in the top drawer. And he just goes, "Oh, a gun. I wonder if it's loaded." And just starts like pulling the trigger like into his mouth. It is completely ridiculous. Yeah. And I guess when I saw the IT Crowd from a comedy standpoint, it just hit me in a really different way than anything else had. Yeah. And I ended up getting, I was just super enthralled with that show. He made the show. Like if you go back to watch it, it's not that the first season's bad. And certainly Richard Iotti is a lot of fun to watch.
Sure.
His first name's Richard, right?
Oh, well. I don't know, but his last name is definitely Coyote.
No, it's Iotti for sure, but now I'm like, I said it. Yeah, Richard Iotti. Oh, good. Whew. And like in Richard, Iotti's a blast, and Chris O'Dowd is certainly funny. Yeah. I mean, frankly, the whole cast is good. He just brought that entire show to another level. Yeah. Whenever he was on screen, it was just, you know, shining. So
and now this is his whole show. I mean, it's just him and
done.
I mean, there's other people that you've recognized from other things, but I mean, he's just silly and zany and it's really funny. So if you like that kind of style of humor, it's on Netflix. Enjoy it. If you hate it, if you watch it and hate it, tell me. I want to know. So just MO1podcast/family. Just tell me. Tell me if I'm wrong. But I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
Okay. Who are you throwing it to?
I want to throw it to Patrick.
Great. So I have art and design this week, and it's something that's been on my mind a lot, and it's something that keeps coming up in conversations that I'm having outside of work, outside of the show, is design conferences, creative conferences. And there's this feeling that for the people that are kind of in the circuit, because it seems like there's a pretty good, like a pretty hefty percent of people that kind of run this circuit, these spheres of conferences that you go to. It's the same thing with the speakers as well. I mean, if I was to pick you know, 10 conferences this next year to go to, I'm pretty sure Aaron Draplin would be speaking at 8 of them. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, sure. But I'm saying that that's a reality of the crowd. And so that's one piece of it. And the second piece of it, I've been thinking a lot about the idea of creating community. So I'm in the process of transitioning from Chattanooga to San Antonio. But Chattanooga specifically, when it comes to community, I've seen a couple of events go through this city that haven't done very well necessarily. I mean, and by not done very well, a couple that have flopped completely. And the thing is, Chattanooga is actually a pretty bustling city when it comes to people in our sphere. But I've seen some festivals like, I think, 10 gig is an example. Nobody here is going to be familiar with it, and that's fine. You go look it up. It was, and that's actually more in like competitive gaming. But the point is, you have DreamHack in Atlanta that'll sell out tens of thousands of seats, and we're 2 hours removed from that, and we have like a huge marketing firm behind it, and all that kind of stuff, and 15 people show up. Mm. And it's just, and I've been asking myself the question a lot, like, why is that? Why does it seem like a community is stifled here, or anywhere for that matter? And then also when it comes to these conferences, these conventions, these events, why does it feel like it is a core group, and where is everyone else? Because the design community, the development community, is so much larger than what is represented at many of these events. And certainly the ideas, the personalities, the whatever is so much larger than what's at these events. And so it's led me down this rabbit trail. So I want to share a couple of unfinished thoughts. And I want to just have a bit of a conversation with you guys and maybe get some of your feedback. But I think the place that I've come to is that I think people are suspicious. People that are outside of the community and outside of a community. And when community seems like a grab by an organization, when it seems like a sponsored thing, when it seems like something that is being done for the benefit of the organizer, I think that consciously or subconsciously, people push back from that. I think they sniff it out and they stay away. The other thing is, I think that community, larger scale community, is birthed out of a much smaller group. Creative South, I think, is a good example of a conference that could continue to grow and has decided not to. So it's not that their growth has stagnated. It's that they have refused to because they want
intentional
to.
Intentional capping.
It's intentional capping. It's a positive thing. I'm not saying anything negative about them. It's a positive thing. But Creative South grew out of an Adobe group. It grew out of a much smaller group that was meeting together consistently, that would meet together regardless of if anybody showed up. However, they invited other people in. And that is the anchor that now supports something that is much larger. Mm-hmm. And so when I think to stuff in my city, and when I think to what I want to bring to any city that I'm in, and then when I think about, I know many people that are planning events for the first time, or they're deciding to do conferences for the first time, or whatever it is. I think the place that I'm left at personally is if it is not anchored by a small, intentional group of people who would be there regardless of what happens. So there's that the genuine piece of the community, the but core. Has open arms. If that doesn't exist, it is highly unlikely, if not impossible, for a larger community to be built in that area. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with my thoughts on it. I would love to hear from y'all if that resonates with you, or if you have maybe another idea of you know, what could attract the larger community, and then what could bolster people getting together in local cities.
Well, I mean, I think to speak to the people getting together, like smaller groups, I think there always has to be an initiator, you know, somebody who's not afraid to say, hey, I want to do this. I know you and you, come and hang, and I'm going to be there regardless. So there has to be that person that's trying to nurture it, you know? And that's sometimes, that's a really hard job at first, because you do have those events where no matter how many Facebook posts or Instagram stories or whatever you do, you know, it's you and two friends that you made come, you know, and it's not necessarily sure. that group. But the key is consistency. And then, you know, slowly, oh yeah, this, you know, it's like creative mornings, and other things, like how those started with, hey, we're going to get together. It's a bunch of, you know, designers or developers or illustrators or whatever. We get together for coffee once a month. Oh, cool. I'd be into that. Well, let's go. Well, okay. Now we have a group too big. So now this is a thing. Now we have to have a venue. And now maybe we should add a speaker rather than just to get together and talk shop. And yeah, that's
instead of just round table.
Yeah. And that's just how that stuff grows. As far as growing the larger crowd, I think it really comes down to authenticity, because, I mean, you spoke to the suspicion of it, you know, whether it's a grab for, you know, if I have community, I'll have buy-in, and then I'll have other people telling, I have built-in marketing if there's community. And then those people that come to want to be part of community, they spend money. And, you know, that's where it feels weird if it's not authentic. But if it's grown the right way, and the people, you know, trying to nurture that and foster that are really doing what they say they want to do, or acting how they are pushing the community to act, I think that just grows because, you know, the right people are there, and they share, yeah, this is legit. Yeah, this is what we've been looking for. Or, hey, I know you work a job and you're the only designer and nobody else knows what line weight is. These people sure. do, and they have a Slack channel. Oh, cool. I'll hop in and talk. You know what I mean? And I think authenticity is what really drives the big groups.
Yeah, I actually don't think I have anything to add to that. I think between the two of you, that's what I would say.
So here's what I'll do. I'll leave it this. I'll leave it with this, because again, I do know several people, and I'm guilty is not the right word, but I've been in the same boat, considering just starting new events, and for good reasons. I mean, not for bad reasons. I would challenge you to strongly consider the why. And I would challenge you to strongly consider what is the anchor for the thing you're wanting to have. And if you haven't created that thing on a small scale, in not just as a way of like, let me test it for 2 months and then make it large. I don't mean that way. If it is not something that resonates with you deeply enough that you're willing to only have 5 people there and meet with them, you know, once a month or twice a month or whatever, and be content at that level. If that isn't going to be fulfilling, you know, whatever, then you probably shouldn't be the person that is trying to coordinate a larger effort when it comes to a gathering of people. That's my knee-jerk reaction. So I would just consider deeply that. For those that feel like your town is dead, that your town has nothing to offer, you're the lonely designer, you're sitting at your desk, you know, you just, man, if only I had people that understood me, that dealt with the same day-to-day that I deal with, that, you know, we could challenge each other, if only I had that. I would say for the majority of people, that person does already exist, and they're within 20 miles of you. You don't realize it, but they're there. And I would say that you have to be the person, potentially. So consider if you need to be the person that becomes that anchor, that starts that small group, that sets that in motion, that then brings the other people kind of out of the woodwork.
Well, it's the idea, be the change you want to see. It's yeah, that
totally
same concept, yeah.
So, absolutely. Because otherwise, I said we were talking to someone during the week. This wasn't on an episode, but I made a comment about it's not going to grow if you're sitting on your couch.
Yeah.
I think if you're feeling those feelings, and you're sitting at your desk, it's pretty reasonable to say that those feelings aren't going to change as long as you're sitting at your desk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That is my challenge for everyone. And that being said, I hope that I get to go to 10 conferences this next year. So yeah. Anyway, that's me. So Andrew,
I'm going to close this thing out.
Close yeah. it out.
So I got, toys and games and,
that's a good one.
As we've talked the past couple of weeks, like I think last week was a very heavy Kickstarter focused week. I'm going to continue that thread because honestly, I think some of the best games that are coming out right now are Kickstarter games that you can back.
Sure.
This one you will have plenty of time. It just released like 10 days ago. So, as of record, there's 21 days, by the time you hear this, it'll be like a 2.5 weeks that you have to back this. So plenty of time. But this game is called Streets of Steel. I'm assuming you've seen it, Luke.
Yeah.
Okay. So Streets of Steel, it plays off of, resurgence of 8-bit things.
Yeah.
You see a lot of 8-bit games for Nintendo and various, 8-bit games for your phone and all sorts of things. This takes the 8-bit side-scrolling, traditional, punch and kick, button mashing game style of the late 80s, early 90s, and puts it into a board game format. So side-scrolling in the truest sense where you place a tile, you make the board on each turn, you place a tile, and you place it to the right, elongating the track or elongating the screen, and then the one on the very far left drops off. Mm-hmm. So it's a constant scrolling of level, and if you're on the back mat when it falls off, you have fallen off the screen and you die. Mm-hmm. You lose a life. So you want to obviously be sure to make your way forward. And it's just a true button masher. You fight through a couple of different levels of bad guys, like regular bad guys, to get to a boss, and then you fight a boss at the end, and it's done. The styling is 8-bit, but they also have inside of it, you could switch out 8-bit cardboard flat figures for really, really highly detailed, well-produced plastic sculpted figures, which is really nice. And so they were looking for, it's by the company, what is the name of the company? It's Wild Power Games. And they've done, I think they had one other game that was kickstarted. And I'm trying to click on it and I'm not seeing it right now. Here we go. So they have created one other, what?
High Heavens.
Yeah, there you go. But this new game is very stylized, very cool. They just hit their first stretch goal. And that stretch goal, it has released a lower cost version of the game where it's called the Purely Pixels level. Mm-hmm. So for $40, which is a pretty low cost, into a game like this, for $40, you can choose to get the full base game, but it doesn't come with any of the three-dimensional sculpted figures. It's all just the cardboard. Mm-hmm. They're still die-cut, cool cardboard pixel figures, but that's all you get with that. But it's a fairly reasonable game. They have the $60 pledge, which is level one, which is the base game with the three-dimensional characters that you can swap out. And they just released, too, with their updates and things, that there is a level two, which is a whole new set of heroes and a whole new set of baddies that you can fight through. For $110, you can get both levels one and two with the two-dimensional and three-dimensional figures. And man, it seems so, so fun. And I can't wait to play. It's going to be a bit. They're saying that it won't come out until February of 2019. So you're going to be waiting for almost a year to get this game. So, but it looks like a ton of fun. The art, the first thing that drew me to the game was the art style. Not because I'm particularly a fan of 8-bit. In fact, part of me feels 8-bit, the whole sub genre of nostalgia mm-hmm. is overdone.
Sure.
But this is done very, very well. This is a very highly rendered version of 8-bit, and it's done by Colin Brown. He's a designer that I've been following for a long, long time on Instagram, and I actually didn't even put two and two together. I stumbled across this on Kickstarter because Lay Waste Games backed the game, and I follow Lay Waste Games, so I got to see this game right when it came out, and it wasn't until maybe a week afterwards that I saw Colin post a picture about it on his Instagram, and I realized that he's the artist for everything. And so it's cool when the people you follow and that you love are working on stuff that also looks fun and cool and you want to connect with. So
sure.
Low barrier of entry in terms of dollars for a board game, especially this day and age. However, you will be waiting for the better part of a year to get your hands on this.
And it's already funded. So if you want it, you'll get it.
You're going to for sure get it. It's already funded. It's not the fastest funding I've ever seen.
No.
It took over a week for them to, I think, get funded. But it's certainly climbing. It continues. There's 700 backers right now. It will continue to add new and fun things. I'm lifting what I said last week about not buying anything on Kickstarter right now. I guess I did that twice because I bought the Janky too, but the Janky was different because it wasn't a board game.
Sure.
But I'm lifting that for this because this is something that I've stumbled across that I actually really, really like, and I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to own it because I think it's very cool. And, of course, I want to support great games, but also I want to support the artists who are working on these games, especially if it's somebody who I follow and I love their work. So check it out on Kickstarter. You've got time. It's called Streets of Steel, the side-scrolling beat-em-up board game. It just looks like a ton of fun. So that's it for me. So I think that's it for this episode. Am I missing anything?
No.
That's it.
Okay, cool. So we're going to get out of this one. You can find us on mf1podcast.com where you can find show notes and links to everything we talked about. If you're watching this on YouTube, just check it all out below us in this video. While you're at it, like, subscribe, share, comment, rate, review, all of those things, follow on the internet. It helps us out so much. It's a great way to support us. It doesn't cost you any money. It takes you very little time, but it's so, so helpful. If you want to support us financially, you can go to patreon.com/mofonepodcast, where I believe we have a new patron. Is that correct, Patrick?
That's right. That's Miss Alicia Cologne. I hope I'm saying
Why
that right.
Why are you coming back into that like a smooth jazz radio host?
That's right. NPR voice.
Yeah, it's Alicia Cologne, the super talented photographer. I almost said lighter. Someone that's good at lighting things.
Okay.
I like lighter. And then, she does a lot of paper craft too.
In fact,
here's how talented she is. We're talking to her on the show on Thursday. So,
all because she's a patron.
Well,
we had never heard of her until she became a patron. We looked at her stuff and said, hey, you want to talk in 2 days?
Want to be on the show?
Well, just so people know, seriously, she backed us on Patreon and then she went to jump on for us to record the interview. And the first thing I said to her was, you know, you don't have to pay to be on the show, just so we're clear. But we do prefer
And her response was, I've been supporting the show for a long time, and I've been meaning to do it. I figured when I'm going to talk to you is a good time to do it. So
we're going to put together just a bill of the time she forgot to support us. And just forward
we're gonna
backdate this
retro. So. Yeah, we're gonna retroact the support.
So for anyone else that wants to start supporting, but they feel like maybe too much time has passed, you know, like it's like if you're getting a haircut and you don't say anything to your barber, like you wait too many minutes, you feel like you can't say anything. We'll backdate it. We'll go back and retroactively bill you.
Yeah,
if that makes you feel better.
The cool thing about Patreon is you can pick how much you want to give. So if you've been listening for a long time and are just now going to become a patron, you can pledge more. It's fine.
That's true.
Just add
that's
100% it up yourself, true. Yeah.
But support the show that way. You can also support the show. So that's patreon.com/remove1podcast. You can also support the show and get something back from it. If this isn't enough, you can get some swag out of it. You can get a shirt, a hat, some pins, a coffee mug. There's some fun stuff. So you can support the show and look cool while you're doing it. And social media, we're everywhere, MF1 Podcast. And there's other things that I should say here. I'm blanking on what they are.
That sounds good, though. I feel
that's
right.
Fine. Okay, so, great review, okay. Like, share, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's all the things to say. You can join Discord. The conversation. Yeah, at Discord. You can go to mof1podcast.com/family.
Yep.
And while you're at mof1podcast.com, you can find an archive with really cool people and
guys,
other
no, listen,
things.
300 episodes.
Yeah.
300.
Yeah, I feel like we breezed over that. We said that in the intro, but yeah. We never really talked about it again.
It's been 300. Thank you so much for letting us get to this. Seriously.
Genuinely.
Yeah, it's been a crazy fun ride. At times, mind-blowingly unrealistic, and at other times, mind-blowingly frustrating. But 4 years of doing this show has produced 300 episodes, full episodes. That's not including our hot seats and some of the other peripheral stuff that we do, and that's insane. A lot of podcasts don't make it past five, so... thanks for supporting the show, and we made it to five, guys. but thank you so much. It's been a blast. It continues to be a blast, and we have more and more stuff planned for the future. Speaking of which, we are now on Timed Edition.
Yeah.
That is new. We're on Timed Edition, as well as a bunch of other really incredible, talented content creators.
We don't deserve to be on Timed Edition, but we're on Timed Edition.
But fortunately for us, we get to sit next to really cool people who are doing great stuff. So you can hit up Timed Edition and subscribe to their mailing list, I guess is what you would call it, to always get the content that's coming out. But there's new content on there daily, so go check it out. It's got a lot of people that we know and love on it. So
TimedEdition.com, if we haven't said that.
I didn't, so that's perfect.
Great.
We're going to get out of this one, though. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.